The following audio is from Living Axe Church in Tyler, Texas. For more information about the church, you can visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Living Axe Church.
I want to talk to you guys a little bit this morning. There's a verse up here on the screen, Matthew 5, verse 7. Simple. I wrote this last night, jacked up on Theraflu and cold medicine, so this is what you're getting this morning is maybe a little dopey here, but this was just really on my heart. I'd originally planned to talk about righteousness because we're going through a series called Christ is All in All, and I was going to talk about Christ being our righteousness. And it's still very, very needed, and I'm going to address that later. But I just wanted to talk about mercy. I started thinking about Stella. I started thinking about all the things we're calling you guys to do, to step out, to be a part of a ministry, to start a ministry, to get involved in one. We're equipping you, the saints, for the work of the ministry. So I just want to give you an idea as to what you're looking for, what we're looking for, and what you're looking for to, if you're going to do that. I've been going to a lot of different conferences and hearing a lot from what I'm reading and things like that on this whole idea of justice. You've probably seen it on Facebook, it's on conferences, everything, justice, justice, meet the injustice, do the injustice, whatever. And, you know, it's just a hugely popular thing right now, and praise God for that. The church is called to raise up for the cause of justice, to defend the fatherless, you know, take care of the orphan, things like that, to go out and do justice-type ministries. Very, very important. So praise God for that, and let us continue to do that. But that justice is good, but mercy is gooder. Mercy is greater, okay? It's a greater thing to be a people of mercy, not just justice. I want you to understand what I mean by that. Mercy, it goes beyond justice, but it doesn't undercut it, okay? You could say justice is a precondition for mercy. But when you're doing mercy, you're going farther. You're not just trying to make things right. You're going beyond them to make things better. So what God did when he came and he lived is he showed us a life of mercy. He wants to birth in the world children of mercy, people that don't say, well, I don't care about injustice. I don't care about all of that. I'm just going to, whatever, do the Christian thing. No, Christians do both. We do justice activities, and we go beyond that to mercy. One of the reasons why we could confuse the two is because when you look out at all of these injustices going on, you want to meet those needs. Once those needs are met, you just want to kind of put the brakes on and stop and go home. And you're seeing people yell and scream and say, this is our right, this is our right, and we deserve this, and all this other kind of stuff. Justice is actually a human right, okay? You deserve justice as a human. You do. I mean, the injustice is shown to you, that's immediately something we go, that shouldn't be done. That should not be done. You have a human right to justice. You have no human right to mercy. Okay? If you feel like you deserve it, then it's not mercy, right? Or if you feel like it's your right, it's not mercy, it's justice. You have to hold those two apart because the Christian is going to go beyond it. He's not just going to make things right, he's going to go beyond it and make things better. He doesn't stop. He doesn't just aim at justice, he aims at mercy. And because he does, he gets both justice and mercy, all right? That's what I'm trying to prepare you guys for, is the cost at which it's going to require of you to be ministers in that way. That's what I want to talk about this morning. And somehow or another, we're going to end up blessed, right, for it. But let me explain a little bit more. You could say that justice is like an equal sign, to use an illustration. But mercy is a minus. To perform acts of justice means that you're going to put things right, you're going to make things equal, you're going to make them the way they should be. But if you're going to be a person of mercy, you're going to purposefully go in the hole for somebody else. You're going to perform a minus activity. So it shouldn't be ministry, it should be minustry, because you're going to go in the hole for another. You're going to put yourself in an awkward place, in a very inconvenient place, suffering for the cause of others so that their lives can be better. That's mercy. You're going further. Let me explain it this way. If you owed me $100, which I wish you did right now, all right, the first thing I have to do is I have to acknowledge that there is a debt, that you owe me money, right? So we're not passive. We don't practice passivity. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. That's not mercy. That's passivity. We'll get to that in just a minute. But if you owe me money, I have to acknowledge that there is an evil that exists between us. You owe me money, you need to pay me. Justice makes sure that you pay me the money. And that's justice. Good. You can't complain about it. And I owe you this, and it's my right to it because it's my money and you owe it to me. So everything's cool. But if I forgive you that debt, if I forgive you, then I've now put myself in the hole so that you can be $100 richer or in the clear. I have acknowledged that you owe me money. I've acknowledged there's a debt, that there's an evil, but I put myself in the hole in your place, all right? I've put myself at $100 less of a state so that you can be in the clear. That's mercy. But I first had to acknowledge that there was a debt. I had to acknowledge that there was an evil. So you hear people talk about, in order to live better and all that with each other, to make society better, we need to try to make evil less evil, and we just need to be more tolerable and things like that. That's not the way to make a better society. Acknowledge evil is evil. Call it evil. It's evil, right? It's sin. It's wrong. But you know what we're going to do? We're not just going to stand and try to make you pay for it and just make sure that you get yours. We will also go beyond that, and we will, in some cases, stand in your place so that you can be free and clear. Do you see what you're being called to if you're being called into the ministry? Not just making things right, putting yourself at a disadvantage so things can be better. Someone, in order for things to get better, someone's got to suffer. Someone's got to absorb the penalty. Someone has to take it. Someone has to take the bullet. All right? So in order to be ministers in this world, we've got to prepare ourselves to do that. And it's going to show up in a million places. You're going to acknowledge it. It's going to show up in a million places. And really, it's the only way the world's ever going to get better is if people not continue to think about justice. We want them to continue to think about that. But we need to keep going as people of God into the realm of mercy. So if someone, even on a very trivial level, if someone makes a comment to you, if someone says a little comment about you and it's hurtful, right? What's the just thing to do? Fire one back. Just fire one back. You deserve it. You fired at me, I'm going to fire at you. How much does that happen in a day, right? You just want justice. So you feel that in the marriage all the time. You just said this. I don't like that. So I'm going to go at you. But what happens when one person in that relationship absorbs that comment and says nothing? There's no war. There's no fight. But someone had to pay. And it wasn't the person that did the wrong. It was the person that was wronged that absorbed it. That's how it gets shut down. But that's so easy to say, Brandon, and it's so very difficult to do, isn't it? Because I know with Lacey and I all the time, we're constantly thinking about gotta make sure that she knows I'm right, and she needs to be right and know that I know she's right. And we just go back and forth and back and forth until we feel like things are equal, but we never quite get there. So many times we just end up with walking away from each other thinking we never equalized anything. You trump me, I trump you, and it's just who can get out the door first. But when someone absorbs it, it's over. You know that proverb that a soft word turns away wrath? Somebody sent me an email one time, and it was really accusational. It wasn't mean, but it was just loaded with accusations and really hurtful stuff. Now you got to understand. I'm like reaching for my holster, right? And I'm reading this, and I'm like, oh, we're fixing to throw down by email. That's always a win. If you ever engage in a fight like that, you're crazy. It doesn't work. Like, So I was reading the email and I started to type this thesis. And I mean, it was brilliant in response, ripping every argument down that they had. And I started going one right after the other. This is diatribe. And it was going to be awesome because I was going to send it and I was going to like stick it to them. You're wrong on everything, you know, and I'm going to stand as champion. And I just sat there with that email, that long email, and I just kept hovering over the send button. Ah, this just didn't feel right. Darn Holy Spirit, you know, it's just like, this just isn't working. And you try to convince yourself, but I use scripture, so it's obviously of God, you know. So I'm just hovering over it. Tons of books make a lot of money off of this, so you gotta watch it. So, I mean, just hovering over the send button, and I just said, nope, and I select all, delete. And I think I replied something like this, you know, you're right. Thank you for pointing that out to me, and I'm gonna try and do better. That was a painful hit on the send button. I didn't want to say that, but I said, you know what? I hit send. The person emailed back, I am so sorry. I can't believe I wrote that. I just want you to know that I think you're amazing. And that's all I did was just say, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. And out of them came all of this just compassion. They felt so bad for what they did, but anger was turned away. I felt like I did God's will that way. But I had to absorb it. In other words, I couldn't defend myself. Do you know how hard that is to do? I mean, when you know you're in the right and you don't say anything, I mean, it's just like you feel like you've just swallowed poison. Like, if I don't say something, I'm going to vomit it up. I mean, I must stand in my defense. And sometimes you do. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you have to. But for the most part, when you're called to ministry, you're going to be going in the hole again and again and again. Am I right, Stella? You're going to be constantly put at a disadvantage, constantly spending your money with people who do not say thank you, who do not affirm you, who do not say good job, who do not do any of that, but only say, you know what? Even though you've done all of this stuff, here's one thing you didn't do. And God's going to say, I want you to continue to serve and I want you to continue to love. Keep going. And every time you get just that, it just pricks your heart because you know he's right. He's right. So to be called to ministry, to be called to take up the gospel and serve in his name, yes, there's tons of things that go along with that. You get to meet people, you get to talk to people, you get to see people. Really, you just get to love on them, but make no mistake about it. This is why ministry is one of the hardest things in the world you can do, because you're going to be constantly absorbing over and over and over again the evil of others. And your job is even though you want to just quickly go to correction, you're going to spend a lot of time just absorbing it. And even when you get them to the place that they've needed to be, and they don't even recognize that you hardly did anything at all, you go to bed at night with the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, well done, good and faithful servant. And one day you'll be rewarded. But that's the call of the person to a life of ministry. But here's what's interesting about the statement, blessed are the merciful. Because if mercy's a minus, if the life is just minus, minus, minus all the time because you're absorbing really evil constantly, then Jesus in this statement, blessed are the merciful, is turning a minus into a plus. It's the most beautiful paradox. He's actually said, blessed are those who are in the hole. Blessed are those who are shortchanged. Blessed are those who are not given credit, right? Who are put at a disadvantage. He's saying, blessed are those who live that way, for they will receive what? Mercy. Mercy upon mercy. Because all of the charges that we get, whether it's mercy in any ministry or whatever, all flow from the place of the cross. This is why Jesus could say this. As you break the cross down, you get these beatitudes. It's really remarkable. But on the cross, Jesus absorbed evil. He absorbed what we did. He was the offended. He was wronged, all right? But when he stood there, when he was on the cross, he didn't retaliate and do justice. Justice was being done because he was fulfilling the requirement. But you got to understand, mercy also, Because he could have, and it would have been a just thing, because we're crucifying God, he could have just blew with his mouth and everybody would have been torched, okay? Justice. He didn't. He restrained it. He took it in. I heard one commentator say, it took more power for God to restrain himself in that on that day and in that moment than in creating everything that he created in the world. The power of restraint, but the power of love. Imagine all of the evil and all of the wickedness coming upon you. Right? All of it. And you continue to remain and to stay, absorbing that for us. Right? That's why we can say, blessed now. He is going to pour out mercy to us over and over. And everything we do is almost like little cross events, little bitty cross displays over and over and over again. When your spouse makes a comment that you don't like and you absorb it and walk in the other room, right? Little cross display, right? I'm right, she's wrong, but I'm gonna absorb it, right? I can't atone for her. I wish I could, right? But I can't atone for her, but I can absorb it and walk away. I can say something kind in its place. Listen, that all sounds good and that all sounds wonderful, but the only way that you'll ever be able to do that is if you have been shown that. People who have been shown that amount of mercy will live and show that amount of mercy. But people that really think Christianity and salvation is really their right, of course God should save me, or of course I deserve this, whatever, or whatever. Mercy hasn't touched your heart. You won't respond in mercy. It'll be very hard for you to do anything other than just get yours. But God wants us to be people of the cross. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are those who display that in the name of Jesus to others. So justice is good, but it's not good enough. It's good, but it's not good enough. We need to be people of mercy. People that are willing to ask, what can I give up so that others can be made better? How can I live trusting that God will supply me with the strength and the grace that I need to live another day and do it yet again, and forgive us where we fail and forgive us where we lash out to try to justify ourselves with others, all right? But be willing to go in the hole, be willing to be disadvantaged for his sake and his name. It's quite a call. It's quite a task. But we can do it. We can do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for the cross. We thank you for what it means to us. You have shown us mercy. We have wronged you, the God of all creation, infinite, sovereign, holy, and good. But you have shown us mercy. This is the picture that we paint, that is painted for us, and we want to paint for the world. This is what we are drawn to. This is what we are speaking of, a God who is wronged more than any of us could be wronged. Yet he absorbed it. He took it into himself. And out of that flows more forgiveness and more love and more compassion, and it just continues. Thank you, God, for this incredible gift of the cross. In our place, condemned you stood. That's the kind of love, God, that can change the world, so give it to us. Help us be those kinds of people. We know how difficult it is to live with human beings because we are one. We know how hard it is to keep things together with people who are just very, very difficult because we all have so many issues, whether it's our past, whatever. But God, you've given us your spirit of mercy and you've shown us mercy. Let us live that way. And blessed are those who are merciful, for they will receive mercy. Thank you for the cross. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information on Living Axe Church, please visit our website, www.livingaxechurch.com, or you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/livingaxechurch.